Thank you for joining the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. DEI initiatives are common in the business and education realms today, and proponents argue that these initiatives are important tools to fight discrimination, racism, and to make businesses and schools more welcoming. But critics say that they fail to achieve what they set out to achieve and are in fact divisive and harmful in those institutions. Joining us to talk further about this is Senate Majority Whip Mike Wilson from Bowling Green. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. It's kind of like old times, isn't it?
Kind of like old times. And we were just talking before we kicked off the program that we've known each other for well over 20 years.
That's correct.
We met each other when you were a radio station manager in Bowling Green.
That's right.
And do you remember?
I was interviewing you.
You were interviewing me, but do you remember what we would talk about?
Well, we'd usually talk about pro-life issues and things like that, and encourage people to call their representatives or senators, whether it was here or in Congress.
That's right. And really what was going on in politics and in the public arena. But we were constantly talking about what was going on in the state legislature. And here you are. You're serving not just as a senator for Bowling Green and Warren County, but also you're the majority whip, which means that you are in leadership in our state Senate. So
yes,
well done, Mike. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate you serving on a personal level. I know it's a sacrifice to you and your family to serve. Many people aren't aware of this, but people who serve in state government, state legislators, don't get rich. They're not doing it for to be known. Most people come up here for the right reason to serve. The pay is very little. The hours are long. And I truly believe that most legislators are here to try to create a better Commonwealth.
I agree with that. People ask me what surprised you, and I say there's a couple of things. And one was when I got here, finding out there were so many already here that held the same values and everything that I did. Because even when we did not have the majorities in both houses, we still passed a lot of very conservative legislation that the House would not take up. And fortunately, we've had the majority for the last seven, I think this is 8 years now, I believe. And we've been able to really move the Commonwealth forward in a lot of ways, but very conservative policy as well.
We have. So the House took over, was controlled by Republicans in 2016 after that election. You got up here before that. When did you first come up to serve?
2011 was my first year in legislature. So this is my 14th year.
14th year serving in the state Senate. You've seen a lot of issues. You've seen some changes. In fact, when you came in, there was a little more parity between the political parties. The Democratic Party, of course, they were in control of the state House. Mm-hmm. In the state Senate, there were many more members. Right now, the margin is 31 Republicans to seven
Democrats. Yes.
So not a lot of parity there. And there's a reason for that. We're not going to talk about really that on this program. No. But anyways, you've seen some changes.
Yes.
Some good. Really, one of the best changes, I would say, is the shift towards what comes to mind as conservative. But I just want to say policies that are good for all of Kentucky.
Right. I would say, conservative as far as fiscal policy goes, lowering taxes and things like that, but also conservative on social issues too, as well, abortion and things of that nature. And we've seen a lot of change.
That's a good segue into what we're talking about with DEI initiatives. And of course, DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. At the outset, Mike, this sounds like a good thing. We are diverse people.
That's right.
Different ethnicities, different skin colors, different political and religious beliefs. We're a melting pot.
Absolutely.
And this is, I would think, a good thing that we from different nationalities and ethnicities can come together and make something of ourselves, right?
Absolutely. And the community that I'm in, Bowling Green, is actually a refugee center for the state of Kentucky. Louisville is. Mm-hmm. And so we have folks from all over that are in our schools. I can't even remember the number of languages that are actually spoken in our schools in Warren County and Bowling Green. At one point, I remember there were like 46 different languages. I remember walking into a classroom and the principal actually having the kids asking them each where they were from. And it just blew my mind, And so Bowling Green has become like that melting pot, and it truly has. And the other thing I would add, Richard, I grew up in Jim Crow South, mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I saw the white colored, you know, bathrooms and signs and water fountains. Mm-hmm. And I was in high school when Martin Luther King was assassinated mm-hmm. in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, it's where I grew up mainly. And so I've really seen racism firsthand and seen what it's like. And it certainly am supportive of the federal laws and things that we've done to actually correct those issues in our country. And I think we've come a long, long, long way. And unfortunately for me, I see that DEI really wants to take us back to segregation, you know, talking about how one race is better than the other and you're an oppressor and you're, you know, just different labels they put on things. And I see results of that in where we see this anti-Israel movement now that's taking place and anti-Semitism rising. And that really troubles me.
So let me jump in right there, Mike. Is the anti-Semitism that we're seeing, not just across the country, but here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, is that connected to DEI?
I believe it is. I believe that's what's happening within our universities, that we see that happening. I'm not going to say it's in all of our universities, particularly to some degree it is. Some are more, you know, voluntary and some are mandatory, you know, trainings and things like that. And so I just felt the need, as several others have, to have a bill that says, you know, you can't do that.
Sure. And you're talking about Senate Bill 6, which pushes against DEI initiatives at the university level in Kentucky. I want to start with a working definition of DEI. We talked about the terms a bit, but this is what the McKinsey company says. And this is an organization that does DEI coaching, mm-hmm. very influential across the country. They say this: diversity, equity, and inclusion are three closely linked values held by many organizations that are working to be supportive of different groups of individuals, including people of different races, ethnicities, religions, abilities, genders, and sexual orientations. As we first began talking about diversity, in and of itself, it is not a bad thing. Equity, it has positive connotations, but I want to dig in a little bit as to really what mm-hmm. that means. Mm-hmm. And then inclusion, which I think is a positive thing. We want to be inclusive. You mentioned Absolutely. That in your district, you have people from all nationalities, mm-hmm. From all across the globe who are there. So I think we can agree that diversity in and of itself isn't bad. Inclusion is a good thing. I want to press yes. into equity, though. This is a term that people think, well, equal, you think of equal. That's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
So what's your concern with the equity
part of it? Equity really means equality of outcome. And, you know, that's not really possible when you have, we all have different gifts. You have different gifts than I have. You have different strengths than I have. We all have, our IQs are different. You know, our skill levels are different. You know, I have a son that's a musician, and he's an incredible musician. Have a daughter who's an actress, and she is. I have a son who's a farmer. I mean, all of my kids are different because they have different, you know, giftings and abilities, and they're all good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way with all people. All people are that way. So the equality of outcome is not really something that's possible, in my opinion. I think equal opportunity is something that is. And we have the Equal Opportunity Act, you know, and we have Civil Rights Act. We have all of those things that have been enacted within our country that I don't think we need DEI. We just need, if we're going to train people in not being racist and not being excluding others and having inclusion and all of that, we need to train them on what our laws say.
That's good. Mike, I'd like to go to a summary of your bill, Senate Bill 6, and it's fairly short, yes. but it does some important things. It starts out and it says that it protects students or employees of Kentucky public colleges and universities from being penalized, discriminated against, or receive any adverse treatment due to the individual's refusal to support or endorse any divisive concept. I want to stop right there. That's a big term. What do you mean by, or could be interpreted differently, but what do you mean by divisive concept?
Well, the bill actually lists 16 different concepts, and mm-hmm. actually I'm going to amend it and call it discriminatory concepts because mm-hmm. it's discriminatory. That's what it really is. Because, you know, somebody said, well, what about slavery? That's a divisive concept. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you're right. So let's call it what it is. It's really discriminatory. Mm-hmm. And so those 16 things that are listed in the bill, and I didn't bring it with me, so
I think we'd lose half the listeners if we went into all the details.
Yeah, you know, you get in the weeds.
Good bill, but we're going to touch the high points on it.
Okay,
right?
Sounds good.
But just this idea of a divisive concept, and I think that the way you illustrated that was good, because some people might see the teaching of slavery, just talking about slavery, as being divisive.
Yeah, and we're not. Some people have said, well, you're trying to infringe on a professor's right, academic freedom. And of course, we know that's already been upheld mm-hmm. by the courts. Mm-hmm. And we specifically crafted the bill that does not prohibit them from being able to teach things about slavery and history and the Civil War and all the things that took place during that time. However, we just say that you can even teach these discriminatory, divisive concepts as long as you're not teaching that concept, if they have one or more of those concepts in there that you're trying to get them to adhere to. You can't indoctrinate them into those things. That's what it is, the difference.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. If you're just joining us, you're watching The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, here with Majority Whip Mike Wilson of Bowling Green. And Mike, I want to go through the other the high points of Senate Bill 6.
Sure.
The second point here is that it stops Kentucky public colleges and universities from requiring a specific ideology or political viewpoint to be eligible for hiring, contract renewal, tenure, promotion, or graduation. I think that's pretty cut and dry.
I think so. You shouldn't have a political litmus test in order to be hired.
So I need to ask this question. Are there examples of this happening at any of our Kentucky colleges or universities where there's a faculty, staff, somebody that has been discriminated against because of their political viewpoints or their religious values that they hold?
You know, Richard, it's been amazing since I filed the bill. Of course, you have people that are always against the bill, but people have come out of the woodwork sending me, you know, where they have been discriminated against based on these principles that have been adopted in universities. And, you know, I don't want to name names. I don't want to name universities, you know, try to call people out because they're afraid of retribution if they get named because they've, you know, been discriminated against already. And they've seen others that have actually lost their job. Mm. There's one in particular that had been issued, an agreement to be hired and found out that they had written an article about DEI and how they disagreed with it, and they retracted their hiring agreement from them. I have a stack in my office of people that have experienced this, and right here in Kentucky, and when people tell me it's not happening, it's definitely happening.
So Senator Wilson, often when there are controversial issues that come to the forefront, and especially when they come before the state legislature, you hear stories like this where people will mm-hmm. confirm that they've been discriminated against or treated
yes.
wrongly, but they're not willing to testify. They're afraid of further being,
blackballed.
Retaliation, or their families. They don't want their family's name out there.
Right.
Do you think that you're going to be able to find anybody to testify on this bill?
We probably will. I'm sure maybe somebody that has been let go that would, you know, no longer have that fear. Mm-hmm. Probably some experts that have dealt in this in other states talk about it. And it's, you know, for us, our universities are supposed to be a place where we have free exercise of individual thought and exchange of ideas and, you know, civil discourse. But that's not happening today. You know, unless you adhere to this one thing that they put out, their statement, their ideology, or their litmus test, then somehow you become a racist, or you become, we're not going to grade you correctly. You know, there's just, we're not going to hire you, we're not going to promote you, all kinds of things like that.
And this brings up an important point. If the universities are a place of true diversity, wouldn't they welcome diversity all across the political spectrum, religious spectrum, ideological spectrum? And yet we're seeing in most of the cases, at least the cases that I'm aware of, it's a far left worldview, which DEI is espousing,
right,
that's used as a tool to go after conservatives,
yes,
whether they're religious conservatives, social conservatives, mm-hmm, people in that area.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Mike, I want to go through. There's a couple other provisions here in Senate Bill 6 that I'd like to bring to light. It's, this bill would prohibit colleges and universities from inquiring into the individual's political or social viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And again, do we have any idea of whether or not this has been happening at our colleges and universities?
Well, again, I, you know, used the example of where somebody had been, you know, extended a hiring offer, mm-hmm, and then they found a paper that they had written and then they withdrew it.
And that would be considered a social viewpoint.
Yes.
Their perspective, their viewpoint on DEI,
yes.
That would have protected that.
Yes.
Very good. This bill requires Kentucky colleges to conduct a survey, and this is an interesting, mm-hmm, part, mm-hmm, in 2025 and 2027 of the institution's students and employees regarding campus climate with regard to diversity of thought and the respondents' comfort level in speaking freely on campus, regardless of political affiliation or ideology. Have you heard from the universities in Kentucky on this particular point?
Well, not on that particular point. I mean, you know, I feel like there's got to be accountability. And of course, they can, I guess you could call, massage the numbers a little bit. And anybody can do that. And sometimes they can issue it and say, well, we only got 50, you know, people responded. And they all said, yes, we feel fine and we're good. But the other part of that you haven't discussed yet, and I'm sure you're going to get to it, mm-hmm, is the right of private action.
Tell us about that.
You know, universities are protected with a sovereignty against that. Mm-hmm. And so we have passed a bill previously that, mm-hmm, that addressed that and gave students who are dealing with disciplinary actions private right of action and kind of attack their sovereignty there. And they didn't like that. And they don't like this part of the bill. You know, they definitely don't want anybody to be able to sue them because they are discriminatory against them. Mm-hmm. And especially if you list out, these are the actions that are concepts that are discriminatory. And if you're practicing those, they have a right of private action and they can bring a lawsuit against you. And we do limit up to $100,000, you know, per instance. And if there's a group of them, then that still it's $100,000 limit on that. But we had to have some teeth in it.
Also, these are public institutions that we're talking about,
yes,
which should be places where people are treated freely and equally.
Yes,
equally is what I'm looking for, without using a DEI program or some other program that would threaten or harass or bully somebody, coercing somebody, really, that's the better term,
right,
to maybe putting their values and their beliefs on the sideline.
Right.
So you could call this maybe a conscience protection maneuver as well.
Yeah.
In some regards. The University of Florida came up in this discussion over DEI. In fact, Florida, if they've not passed a DEI restriction at the college level, they're considering a bill. A handful of other states are considering.
Okay. Florida has, and Tennessee has, and I think Texas has. So there's different states, and we looked at their bills and to see what they had done. We liked Tennessee's best because they list out the divisive or discriminatory concepts, and that's what they prohibit. We don't prohibit the fact that they have DEI or offices or anything like that, or, you know, infringe upon the academic freedom. But we also say you cannot infringe upon the freedom of speech and freedom of thought, you know, of other students or employees.
Let's talk about that for just a moment, and then I want to go back to the University of Florida. There is a distinction between freedom of thought and freedom of speech on the college campus and an official program that could maybe everybody's forced to go through, diversity training, for example, or a policy that says you have to think this way or you have to use this language. And that's part of the DEI initiative on college campuses.
Right.
There's certain language that you have to use. And if you don't, you could be in trouble. You could be at crossways with that policy. But the distinction I'm trying to make, Senator Wilson, is that freedom of speech and freedom of thought in engaging with these important issues on college campus is different than having a program or a policy that can be used as a tool to go after somebody whose values and beliefs you disagree with, isn't
right.
it?
Right, right.
And I think that's important to put out. University of Florida was mentioned in an article, very compelling article about DEI. It was found that in their college system, more than 1,000 separate DEI initiatives, which included in part professional development conferences, a presentation featuring material that declared the United States was rooted in white supremacy and included mantras from Racists Anonymous. It's this kind of thing, I think, that you're going after. Policies that declare that we're racist. If you're, by the virtue of your skin color, you're racist.
Right.
Because you're white and you're in the majority.
Right.
It's those kind of things that you're going after.
Bill, absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell you that I did, I was stationed, I was in the United States Marine Corps. And I was in for 8.5 years stationed on the East Coast, West Coast. And we lived in Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County, and the church that we attended, it was a very large church, probably 2,000 adults. As white people, we were the minority. We had, it was the most ethnic mixed place I'd ever been in my life. I never felt, and even, you know, while I was there, we were all together, had one intent, purpose, you know, coming together, worshiping together, having fellowship together, and doing all kinds of things, playing volleyball together and different things all the time. And this is what we strive for. This is what we want. That I look at you, no matter what your skin color is, as you're my equal. You're a human being just like me. We cut ourselves. We both bleed red blood, you know. And so I remember being in the Marine Corps. My drill instructor came to us, and he said, I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. He said, there is only one color here in the Marine Corps, and that's Marine Corps green. He said, because whatever color that person is that's in a foxhole with you, they're going to be the one that saves your life. And some of them, you know, best friends I had, they were Hispanic, they were black, they were, you know, Puerto Rican or something, you know, just different. It was a great melting pot for me when I was there. And then I come to Kentucky, and of course, the white population is very high, you know, here. And until we started having the folks coming from Vietnam and different places that, you know, and it's just changed our whole city.
Mike, we are moving towards the close of this program. I want to hit some of the things that DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, undermines. We talked about a few of these throughout, but I want to kind of bring these to a point. The first is that DEI undermines American ideals of equality before the law.
Yes.
We've made a distinction between equality and equity, which is equal outcomes. DEI undermines the dignity of each and every person without regard to the skin color, political beliefs, religion, or other intrinsic
identifications. That's right. It's a political litmus test, I call it, that you have to adhere to these particular things. And if you don't, then you're a racist.
DEI focuses on differences instead of commonalities.
Absolutely.
Even though we have a solid foundation for our law and government and equal treatment of human beings, we've had our warts and our blemishes. You mentioned the Civil War. We went through the Jim Crow era, but we had the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah.
And now we're dealing with this DEI or this critical race theory moment where I think that some legitimate concerns are addressed, but the solutions are wrong. It's mm-hmm. not going to be solved through divisiveness.
Right.
Introducing racism from minorities towards majority populations, or picking at old wounds and trying to refight old battles.
Yes.
And it's not that we're trying to sweep them under the rug. I think we do need to know our history. And that's not what your bill does, though.
No.
Does it? You're not trying to say that you cannot teach these certain things.
No, they need to teach history, and they need to teach the history the way it existed, you know, and the way it happened. That's important, I think, that people learn that, because, you know, there are so many people I see interviewed that just don't know our history. They don't know the history, like the whole thing that's happened with the Jews. That's been the most persecuted race of people on the planet. They were slaves for 400 years in Egypt,
yeah.
You know, and they've been kicked out of every country in the world. People just don't know the racism that they have faced. But unity, you know, coming together, even our motto as a state, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. That's got to be our motto.
Yeah.
And we cannot have this divisiveness within our colleges. We have to teach what is our commonalities, what brings us together as human beings. And that's what I'm about.
That's good. Mike, what are the prospects of your bill passing, Senate Bill 6?
You know, I think it's, as far as the Senate goes, I think it's pretty good.
Any idea what the House might do?
I don't know. They have a bill in the House, too, as well. I think that they're very interested in, much more extensive than mine's. Probably it could be as much as 60 to 80 pages. I don't know. Mine's only 5. And I think that you... Sometimes when you get into a lot of things like that and try to be so specific in the law, it's like Florida's law is being challenged. And they're probably going to win on some things on that in the court system.
The opponents are going to probably win, you're saying.
Yes, I'd say the opponents are probably going to win. As we've looked at it, we've looked at we have constitutional lawyers on staff. And so we've vetted all of that. And we tried to get at the heart of what we want to do. And I think we've done a good job on that, but we'll see.
Very good. Mike Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on the Commonwealth Matters.
Thanks for having me. All right.